Blog Talk Radio.
It goes, lose your innocence, ride with the flow, show your difference.
The light can be so filled
with confusion, you'll find strength in those who love you.
Welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. You can also email me. I'm SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. You got any suggestions, comments? You know, you can check this show out on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Google, as well as here at Blog Talk Radio. Well, you just heard Hold On from Michael Mayo's debut album called Bones, and he is on the line with me. Michael Mayo, you here?
I am here.
Are you drinking water,
hey,
Michael?
Joy,
because that's good for... That's good for singers to drink water. You know that, right?
Oh, yes, indeed. I try to stay very hydrated.
You know, audience, water is important for everyone. You know, your body's made up of mostly water. And we were discussing the importance of what happened to pay phones and what happened to where you're going to get your water. Why can't we get it from the sink? This was the main goal of this interview. But then
yep,
I said, Michael,
yep,
we can't
I mean,
do that
like,
to the audience.
Album aside, you know, I think the real priority today is to make sure we talk about the tap water situation.
Tap water versus bottled, you know,
yeah,
seriously.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, what are you, Michael? Is it tap water or is it bottled?
Well, I mean, these days it's tap water through the Brita filter, but I'm from L.A., and so you're not supposed to drink the tap water there. But coming to New York now, apparently the tap water is, you know, all that and a bag of chips. So I think I've officially crossed over the tap, team tap.
No, but what about when you go overseas? You know, they're always like, don't drink the water, don't drink the water. What do you do then?
Yeah, no, I don't drink tap water overseas because I had a kind of gnarly experience one time. So I kind of have just been, whenever I travel, I just do the bottled.
Mm-hmm. You heard it here first, people. Overseas bottle, New York tap, and L.A., I don't know what you're going to do about getting back to bottled again. So
get a water
yeah.
filtration system, call it a day.
There you go. There you go. And this was not a commercial for Brita at all. Oh, my God. Michael Mayo, thank you so much again. I played that. I thought it was interesting because you come from a musical family. You want to tell the audience about Hold On and who was on there?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that you played that. I didn't know you were going to play that song first. I love that you played that song first. So that's my mom and dad. My mom, her name is Valerie Pinkston. My dad, his name is Scott Mayo. And they're both amazing musicians. I grew up watching them do gigs and sessions and tours. And you know, they both have been at the top of their game for a really long time. And so I knew in making this record that I needed to have them on something. We recorded the album in New York and they live in LA. So we weren't able to get together physically. This is all pre-COVID. So we did a remote, remote recording session, and I'm just so thrilled with how it turned out.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important because a lot of artists don't have support from their families. Even in this day and age where you know that people can make a living from being an artist, performing artist, people are still, like, shamed, like, oh, you're what? So what's your real job?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you sing? What's your real
yeah.
job? You know, that's, like, the question people are asking. Did people ask you that, like, when you were out, like, when you would meet people and they would be, you would be introduced?
I've definitely gotten that before. I think as time goes on, I get it less and less. But the funny one is you either get from people who aren't artists or don't have many artist friends, who either get the, okay, so you play music, but what do you, like, do? Like you said, like, what's your actual job? Or you get people who are like, oh, that's so cool, sing a song right now. And I'm like, really? Like, if you were a doctor and you told me you were a surgeon, I'd be like, can you just give me, like, a quick heart surgery real quick? Like, no, that's not how this works.
Yeah, like the instant heart surgery, not the, like, real long, like, you know, upper level ones.
Yeah, no, just like, I'm sure you bought your scrubs. Yeah.
Yep. But now you are more than just a singer, because you are like this linguist dude. You know, like, a couple languages, and now you're learning Japanese. I mean, like, Ohayo gozaimasu. I mean, like, what?
Ohayo. Yeah. Okay. So when I was, I want to say, 15, maybe 16, I made a pact with myself that I wanted to be fluent in 5 languages by the time I was 30, which is right around the corner now. So I speak English, Spanish, Portuguese, French, and I'm sort of now, like, very casually working on Japanese. It sort of took a backseat, you know, when COVID hit, but yeah.
Wow, that's really amazing. I mean, you know, in our schooling system here in America, even though it has been said kids learn languages better when they're younger, when they're actually little kids, right? But we wait until high school. What is that? I mean, huh?
Yeah, I mean, like, the funny thing, going to Europe, everybody there speaks multiple languages, and then coming back here, I mean, to be real, like, obviously there's so many people from so many different places in America, but just for people whose families only speak English, it's normal for people to just only speak English forever.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, there was this whole big thing, like, you couldn't even come to my restaurant if you didn't speak English. I mean, get out. I don't know if you remember that, you know, years back, it was this big movement of, even here, I'm from Philadelphia, and there was this thing with the steak place, and they were not serving people unless they spoke English. Mind you, their English was like half-baked in the beginning anyway. They actually didn't really speak English correctly. I mean,
right.
You know, so that's, I applaud you for learning, and you could teach other people. I mean, like, let me ask you this. What's the purpose of learning all these languages? Are you going to sing in them, or is it just to, like, a goal that you wanted?
It's kind of all of the above. I mean, in high school, when I sort of made that agreement, it was mostly because I speaking in other languages was cool. And, you know, for me now, it's sort of morphed into, I like being able to communicate people in their own language, because I feel like you get closer to what they actually mean when they're speaking in their own language. And some of those subtleties, and, you know, unless someone's been speaking English or whatever for a super long time, some of those subtleties, if they're not as comfortable in the language, will come through so much more. And so I like to meet people where they're at, and I just enjoy the process of learning.
Well, let me play another song from your album. It's called The Way. So let's listen to this here.
Cool.
Give me a chance, if you have the time. Hope you get the single dance. Think I could change your mind. They say love at first sight's not a real thing, but there's just something in the way you move.
You know, you like a lot of different people. I read that you are bisexual. Let me ask you this. What do you like when you see somebody? like, okay, let me just put it this way. Okay, if it's a dude, do you like tall guys or short guys, light guys, dark guys, dreadlocks or close cut? Let's get it clear now, okay?
Yeah. Honestly, as boring of an answer as it might sound, I don't really have, like, a type, physically speaking. I think for me it's more about, like, someone's general vibe.
Okay.
So, you know, I like people that are self-assured. I like people that take risks. I like people that ask questions. You know, I have respect for people who, like, have a zest for life. And, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, the sexuality thing is so interesting, especially as, like, a bisexual person, because I have, you know, I feel things for multiple different kinds of people, but for me it doesn't feel like different kinds of people. For me it's just people. So, like, I don't really care much for, like, dictating I am this, therefore this, but, you know, I like a whole host of things. It's hard to sort of pin it down.
I was reading that you were keeping a list of all the people you told before you actually came out. It was because of the stress and worry. And how do you feel now after you've come out? You feel relief? You still feel stress, anxiety in certain places? Are you still judged? Do you feel?
Yeah, definitely feel a relief, you know, like being out is just like objectively, and you know, important to say that I live in a place where I have the privilege of being out and it being fine. Not everybody can say the same. So I'll say for myself, being out is objectively better than not. And so this feels like there's, you know, a huge weight that I was holding for a long time that I no longer have to. And then, you know, but, you know, it's still not a walk in the park, right? Like, you still have an identity that runs contrary to what society says you should be, you should feel, you should, you know, the way you should act or whatever. So that inherently breeds a certain potential for stress. And then, what was the last thing? Oh, yeah, yeah. I would say I rarely encounter people who are, like, judgy or gross towards me. There are always going to be haters, you know, they will be out there, but that's more a testament to their own relationship with themselves rather than anything objective about me. So, like, I don't really care about those people, and I surround myself with people who love me and treat me with respect, just as I love them and treat them with respect, and the rest is just background noise.
Do you think the gay community is, like, saying you're on the fence and just jump over the fence and stop being on the fence? And what do you say to them?
Oh, probably. Like, I mean, biphobia is it's a very real thing. I mean, I think someone who can feel attraction to more than one gender is an enigma to people who only feel attraction to one gender. And I think there's this resistance to anyone who, you know, does something differently than you. And unfortunately, you would think that, like, someone who's marginalized would have more room to accept someone else who's marginalized. But, like, you know, the old adage says, like, hurt people, right? So just because someone's been hurt or marginalized doesn't mean they won't in turn to do that to someone else. But I don't sweat it. Like, everybody has their trauma. Everybody has their stuff. As long as, like I said, I surround myself with people who treat me with love and respect. And if somebody comes at me with that type of energy, if they're willing to have a dialogue and they're not just trying to cause problems, then I'll talk to them about it. Because, like, oftentimes we hold these unconscious biases. We have these unconscious thoughts that until we meet someone who challenges that. Like, you know, I had plenty of transphobia without realizing it until one of my best friends came out to me as trans. And then just going in and being like, oh, whoa, now that I know someone, I can go in and deconstruct these things that I literally wasn't even aware of that I had, you know?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. I mean, my feeling is, like, what difference does it make? Like, is this hurting anybody? Are you hurting yourself? Like, that's my feeling about it, you know? You know, I remember talking to different people, young people. I have a degree in social work, and just talking sometimes to kids, it's like, it's okay, you know, to be the way you are. Nothing's wrong with it.
Yeah.
You're not hurting anybody. You're not hurting yourself. Go on. Be yourself. Be your true self, you know. Thankfully, like you
really
said, you live in a place.
It really should be that simple.
Yeah, well, we know it's not, you know, unfortunately. But let me play another song here. I like this song. It's 2020. This is from Michael Mayo's album Bones.
But as the letters fade, erasing your love like a dying dove, I know now where I went wrong. Something inside me said I should know better, I should show better, I should talk to you. I shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda.
Just tuning in, I'm talking to singer Michael Mayo. That was his song 2020 from his album Bones. Let's get back to the music, Michael. I know we kind of steered away from it, but Bones, why that name?
Mm-hmm.
What is that from? How did you come up with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when I was trying to figure out the name for the album, I already had a sense of what songs I wanted to be on it. I had a sense of sort of emotionally what I wanted the vision to be, but I wasn't, it took me a while to find the name that really hit. And finally I realized that, so one of the tracks is called Bones, and I was just going through the different tracks of the album trying to see if I could maybe find a name somewhere in there. And when I thought about Bones, it really hit me because each of these songs is really specific to a time in my life where I like learned a specific thing, or had a specific experience. And so I sort of call this album the bones that make up who I am today. So all of those things that maybe a decade ago I didn't know that now I know, sort of the patchwork of who I am now was made in the writing of these songs.
Yeah, I know. I heard you wrote this song 2020 in Armenia. Is that true? Like. Like you can write anywhere, or do you have to have like, I have to have the lights off, I have to have no sound, or I have to be in the park and lots of noise? Like, what's your process there with writing songs?
Yeah, so for me, honestly, it's totally random and depends on the songs. So in the case of 2020, some friends of mine and I had decided that we were going to do a thing where we wrote a song every day for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I was totally on board and down to do it, but then I got called to do this gig in Armenia singing with the Armenia State Jazz Band. It was a really amazing experience. And the first day I was there, I was like, I'm going to write music every single day. But then, you know, I had like pressing things. So I was like,
yeah,
I'm not going to do that. But the one day that I had off, I was like, I'm going to do it. So I was in my hotel room and all I had was my laptop and my like Apple headphones. And so I just like recorded this demo. The vocals that you hear at the very beginning of the track is what I recorded in the hotel room. And then the lyrics of the song sort of came together that day. And then a bit after I got home, I finished the rest of the song. But I kind of like writing when I'm away from like my normal day to day. I think I end up writing different sounding stuff. So I like to write on planes. I like to write when I'm on tour. I like to write, you know, I like to write when I'm at home too, but it feels different when you're like out and about.
Mm-hmm, yeah, definitely. Inspiration. Now, you know, I was reading that your first kind of like recital, you got a sore throat. You know, that's like the worst fear of a lot of singers is like, I got this big gig or I got a big audition, and then I lose my voice. Like, you always see that in the movies or something, you know?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, what do you do to prepare, like, before you have to go on? Some singers don't talk. You know, is that something that you do? You don't talk like the hour before or something? What's your process before you have to go on stage?
I don't do full on vocal rest, meaning like not talking, not singing, unless, you know, if say for example we had like a pretty intense rehearsal the day before, or like a long sound check the day of, then I'll maybe do vocal rest for like an hour, but that's not part of my normal routine. My normal routine is really just to not talk as much as normal, not sing as much as normal, and then just drink lots of water, drink lots of tea, and warm up in the morning, and then warm up before the gig. I have like a whole vocal warm-up routine that I do, and it helps sort of dial in the whole situation.
Now, how did you connect with your band? You're working with keyboardist Andrew Friedman, bassist Nick Campbell, drummer Robin Bates, and you're working with a wonderful producer, Eli Wolf. How did all of you get together, connect?
So I've known Andrew since high school. We went to high school together. Robin and I went to college together, and Nick and I play in a band called Shrek Is Love. So I've known all of them for a very long time. And, you know, I played with them in a bunch of different contexts. And as I was getting ready to make the record, it was like there was no question. I was like, oh, yeah, this is who I want. And then when it comes to Eli, it's actually so random how Eli and I hooked up. So I know Eli's wife, who's an amazing singer named Hillary Gardner. She is part of this vocal trio called Duchess, three awesome singers who I had been a fan of for a while. Hillary and I were on a gig. Wait, no, am I making that up? I don't know. So basically, Hillary and I had some like musical thing, and then she was like, "Oh, you should totally meet my husband. He's this awesome producer." And I'm ashamed to say, I kind of disregarded it at first, just because you know so many people come to you and are like, "Oh, you should meet my neighbor's dog's previous owner. Like, they're an awesome producer, right?" And then finally, when I met him, firstly, he was just such an awesome, like really genuine human. He came to a gig that I was doing and we met and we had like a nice conversation. And then I looked him up and then I'm like, oh man, this guy is like legit.
For real.
So yeah, like very, very much so. So we got together for these coffee shop hangs where we would just get together and I'd play him some demos and he would tell me some of his ideas and we would just sort of bounce ideas off each other. And that just sort of dovetailed really well into making the record.
It's amazing, like synchronicity in life, you know? It's like if you hadn't had that little musical thing with her, then you wouldn't have connected with her husband, and then now you got this amazing album. I think it's like also being ready for things. Sometimes people make great connections, but they're not ready. As an artist, I remember, you know, as an actor, always like being ready, always practicing monologues, maybe taking classes, because you never know like where the opportunity will come. Like it may not come in the package you think it's going to come in, you know. Let me play another song. This is You and You from the album Bones.
In time, maybe I can find a life. Alive in open doors, engrossed in chords, the known is more misleading. I've grown with the unknown in need. The tale is quick to tell itself, given the chance. Your health is in my hands. You put my words on a pedestal. You wanna get closer to me? You need a remedy for all of the drama between you and you. You want to get closer to me, but you need a remedy for all of the drama between.
That's actually one of my like favorite songs on the album there, You and You.
Oh, cool.
Who do you like? You know, I read you like Emily King, And I was like, oh, my mm-hmm. God, I, like, got introduced to her a couple years ago, like, musically meaning. And for them, her song For Them was one of my songs I like. Who else do you like besides Emily King?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Let's see. In no particular order, people that come to mind. Brandy, Hiatus Coyote, D'Angelo, Becca Stevens, Gerald Clayton, Jacob Collier, Bobby McFerrin. You know, this list is very, very long, but I literally could go on for like 3 days.
Oh my God. Let me ask you some silly questions. If you have a superpower, what's your superpower?
Oh, telekinesis, hands down, no question.
Really?
Like moving stuff with my mind. I've always mm-hmm. wished that I could do that. There were actually a few times growing up where I like had a very vivid dream that I had developed telekinesis, and then I woke up and got very sad because it wasn't true.
I think a lot of kids have that, like, you know, the fantasy dream about something, and then you realize, okay, that's not really happening. Okay, now, if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go, and who would you take?
I would definitely go to Japan, because I still somehow have never been to Japan.
Mm.
Who would I take? I don't know. That's hard.
Okay, if you're afraid to make somebody angry, I don't want to, like, you know, be like, why didn't you choose me?
No. You know what? Thank you, Joy, for giving me this platform to speak on this matter. I think I'd probably take my dad because he lived there for a time, and he like knows the lay of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you had $100, what would you do with it?
$100?
Just $100.
I would. You know what? I would replace the cuffs on my headphones because they're messed up.
Oh my God! Okay.
That's what
Let
I would
ask
do.
You,
yeah.
What's your favorite food? What's your favorite dish? Like meal?
I'd probably have to say mac and cheese, but specifically like my granny's mac and cheese.
Okay, specifically.
I could eat it all day, every day, forever, anytime.
Okay. Now, you know, I heard dairy and all that stuff is not good for singers, so that has to be like a once or twice a year type of thing for you, okay, Michael?
Okay, yeah, thank you.
All right, let me ask you this. What's next for you?
So I'm looking at touring stuff for next year. I can't give you any specific dates, but that is kind of like what I'm most excited for now is I'm going to be touring Bones. But, you know, with COVID and everything and regulations, everything is so murky. That's why I can't give you any specifics. But that's the next big thing. Album number 2 is, like, bubbling right now. It's simmering. I'm excited to start writing again for that.
Well, I'm excited to see what's next. I would love to have you back on when you make the second album. I really enjoy the first album, so that's why I can't wait for the second one.
Thank you.
But good luck touring. Be safe. You know, wash your hands. Don't eat a lot of mac and cheese. And
Will
stay
do.
Away from Shrek movies.
Or want to, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Michael, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Joy. This was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
All right. I'll talk to you later, okay? Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good one.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Just got off the phone with singer Michael Mayo. We were discussing his album, Bones, half the time, and the other half we were talking about a lot of great stuff. So check him out. I'm going to be giving away some copies of his album, so you want to follow me on Twitter, @JoyKeys. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. Stay tuned. I'm going to be speaking with Namina Forna, author, about her book, The Gilded Ones.
I think it's about time this jilted heart was spared. The inscrutability of your eyes made me hypothesize that you care. You're warm like summer sun on Mars, cold like a pink, sweet, so bizarre. You told me my eyes shine bright, told me my eyes shine bright.
Bright. Right.
Invisible like the atmosphere, spatial maple so unclear. Told me my eyes shine bright. Now I can't sleep at night without your love.